Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. In most years, Halloween is maybe the only day of the year where you or your kids would intentionally wear a mask. As part of a costume, of course, but as with so many things, this year is different. While Halloween is usually a time for families and friends to gather in their costumes, go trick-or-treating, with a pandemic that continues to be out of control, the holiday may have to look and feel different this year. But experts say that doesn't mean it has to be any less fun, and there are still ways to celebrate safely. Joining us now to share some creative strategies to celebrate Halloween safely this year is Dr. Sadia Khan, an epidemiologist and assistant professor of preventative medicine at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. Hello, Dr. Khan. Welcome to the 21st.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And listeners, our lines are open. We want to invite you to join our conversation. The number is 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. We want to know how you and your family will be celebrating Halloween safely this year. If you have any questions about how to do so, or maybe you have some ideas to share with other listeners, we want to hear from you. The number, again, is 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. Dr. Khan, let's get the first big question out of the way. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot recently dressed up in costume as Lysol wipes at a press conference talking about Halloween safety. So are you wearing a costume this year?
I am not wearing a costume, and I have still yet to figure out what my 4-year-old and 2-year-old will be wearing, but they will be wearing costumes.
Okay. So on a more serious note, cases are rising across Illinois to record highs, at least confirmed cases. Is it safe to participate in Halloween this year?
As we mentioned earlier, the most important thing with everything that comes this year, whether it's Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, is that unfortunately, everything is going to look a little different to take into account how we can be safe with COVID around.
So you mentioned to one of our producers that you've been discussing Halloween with your two young children. I wonder what have those conversations been like?
It's really interesting to hear what a 4-year-old cares about for Halloween. And, you know, I have a 4-year-old and 2-year-old, and for them, it is really about dressing up. And I don't think we're going to lose most of the fun that they're going to be able to partake in by getting dressed up in costumes, by being able to see from a distance kids on our block that are wearing costumes without going door to door or increasing their risk by coming in contact by getting candy from each house.
So I guess what are some of the things like how would one approach trick-or-treating? Obviously put on the mask, but what are some of the other recommendations about how to do that safely?
Absolutely. Important point about the mask too, because you mentioned a lot of costumes have masks, and it's really important to know that the plastic masks or the costume masks are not going to give you the same protection. And so we recommend wearing the same fabric or other mask that you've been using in other settings with your costume. But in addition to wearing a mask and physically distancing, and that is staying at least 6 feet apart, even when you're outside, I think other ways to think about a safe Halloween this year include parades. I've heard of a lot of schools or neighborhoods that are doing parades so that the kids can still get the sense and enjoyment and community out of the holiday.
And so what about going door to door? Is it safe to go ring a doorbell, say trick or treat at every house down the block? Or do you want to bring like a broomstick or something to ring the doorbell? Or what's the approach there?
I've seen some really creative candy shoots being displayed on social media so that there are definitely 6 feet apart. While that's very creative, I know that the CDC has characterize trick-or-treating going door-to-door as a moderate to high-risk activity because of the fact that we know that getting that close to that many people really precipitates the potential for spread, especially if somebody is not feeling well, then that's even more of a concern.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, there's as much, if not probably more risk for the adults, right? I mean, who are the ones actually doing the distributing of the candy? Can you talk about, I mean, are there any guidelines for, should is it better to be the sort of Mr. Grumpy on the block and leave your porch lights turned off this year and just not participate if you are concerned about COVID-19? Or do you, I mean, what would be your advice there?
I hate to say it, but I think that might be their approach that many may be taking, and we will be taking as well, with a sign up saying that we're not participating this year in handing out candy. I hope that as things settle down and we could potentially have some sort of a make up holiday or make next year's twice as exciting and fun, but I really don't think that the risk of going door to door is one that we can accept.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the things I've heard is schools have, and I should remind listeners, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Dr. Sadia Khan, who's an epidemiologist and a professor of preventative medicine at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. We're talking about doing Halloween safely. One of the things I've heard is that it seems that data is coming out now that schools themselves are not necessarily places where a lot of COVID-19 is spreading, but that there are ancillary school events, right? People are maybe they get the message from the school being open. Well, now we can do birthday parties. Now we can have play dates. And that's where you are sort of seeing in these sort of other activities, you are seeing some of the spread. And I wonder, one, I mean, does that match your understanding? Are you seeing that? And does that, what does that say about the possibility of Halloween gatherings, Halloween parties?
That's a great point. And I think the distinction between regulated school encounters, and both of my children are in full-time daycare where they are masking at all times, including having isolated bubble classrooms without contact with the other classrooms, is we've done, it seems like it's been really well done, but it's when kids are getting together outside of school or that there are play dates happening, that there is greater potential for spread when there aren't masks being worn. And I do think one of the concerns that I have has been that being outdoors has felt so safe. And the Rose Garden event is a really clear example that if you're in close proximity with somebody who is either symptomatic or has COVID, being outside doesn't protect you from getting it.
And you're talking about the event at the White House, famously, where it's thought that President Trump likely encountered COVID-19 as well as many other people in his orbit when you talked about the Rose Garden.
Yes, just
Yeah.
because there were so many people who had attended that event that were positive, it seemed the most likely place that that was contracted.
Yeah. Okay. And, we are coming into a big holiday season beyond just Halloween, but of course, a month after that comes Thanksgiving, and then depending on one's faith, Passover, Christmas, other times for family gatherings. As we are looking ahead, do you have thoughts on, I mean, what should people be thinking about holiday gatherings this year?
The two most important things I would say is one, get your flu shot. The CDC is recommending that everybody get their flu shot before October 31st. And the rationale for that deadline is just to try to get everybody motivated to get it as early as possible this year. I think that's really important. The second is to be very honest and transparent and have open discussions with anybody that you're considering coming in close contact with so that everybody's on the same page. Are you wearing a mask when you go out? Are you going to the grocery store? Some people are, some people aren't. I think it's perfectly safe to go to a grocery store with a mask on, but it's really important as people are starting to expand their bubble that they have frank discussions with everybody that they're including.
And I mean, is it too early to say whether, people should just, focus on trying to do a Zoom Thanksgiving this year, or do you think it can be done safely?
I don't think it's too early to say that because the numbers are increasing at such a rapid rate, and the percent positivity right now is very concerning because oftentimes that means it's reflecting what happened 2 to 4 weeks ago. That I would say, given where things are heading right now, that a Thanksgiving gathering in person is likely to not be a safe gathering, and a Zoom meeting should be considered. It's hard to say that in some circumstances with small gatherings, for example, if you have a grandparent who is a primary caregiver and they're already in your bubble, well, then that wouldn't be any different than every day. But I think expanding to people who don't live inside your household and potentially could either bring COVID-19, even with a negative test, to your home is of a risk that I don't think is worth taking.
And that's a good point, that the testing is not foolproof, right? You could have, even if somebody is tested, they could have maybe not been in the viral stage yet of their particular infection, but still potentially be transmissible or contagious, I guess, is the word I should look for.
That's such an important point. You know, the testing is helpful, but it is not perfect. And in fact, we know that testing is just one part of the strategy that we need to prevent spread. It doesn't make you immune from getting it. And in fact, we know that many people can be asymptomatic or have a negative test, but start to develop symptoms later. It's probably one of the most challenging things about this virus compared with influenza or other viruses, is that period before you're symptomatic, but you've been exposed, can be quite long. On average, it's about 5 days.
And you are still contagious in that period, though, or for at least part of that period.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we only have a couple of minutes left in our conversation, but I guess bottom line here, as we return to Halloween, would you feel safe allowing your kids to do any sort of either trick-or-treating or going to a Halloween party? Bottom line?
I would not. I think the dynamic changes that we're seeing in the community are really what's directing that feeling for me. If we were talking about an alternate universe where we had gotten exceptional control and positivity rates were really low and things were in a stable place, then maybe we could have a conversation about what is the risk, what's the benefit. Is it worth taking this risk if it's at a low level? But given the community levels right now, I don't think that risk is acceptable.
Okay. Well, that is a sobering message, but one that I think is important to keep in mind as we enter not just Halloween, but the rest of the big holiday season on our calendar. Dr. Sadia Khan is an epidemiologist, assistant professor of preventative medicine at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. Dr. Khan, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st.
Thank you so much, and have a wonderful and safe and happy Halloween.
Thanks. You too. That is all the time we have for today's show, but I do want to mention that tomorrow, on Wednesday, on the 21st, we are scheduled to speak with Governor J.B. Pritzker live at 11 o'clock or 11:06 after the newscast. We hope you'll tune in. We also want to hear from you if you have questions for the governor. The best way to do that would be to leave us a voicemail. The number for that is 217-300-2121. The number again, if you have a question for Governor Pritzker, leave us a voicemail. Be sure to say your name, where you're calling from. The number is 217-300-2121. We're also reaching out to our texting group, Text the 21st. Great comments we always get in there. You can join that by texting the word TALK to 217-803-0730. The number again, send the word TALK to 217-803-0730. You can stay up to date with us also on Twitter. To follow us, just search for 21st Show. That's 21ST Show. And you can find us on Facebook at The 21st. All those links, every other way to contact us, the voicemail line, the texting group, Twitter, Facebook, it's all on our website, which is 21stshow.org. We've got all of our past shows there, and you can also find us most places you get your podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and NPR One. Just search for The 21st. Our program is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Eunice Alpasan is our engagement producer, and our interns are Zainab Qureshi, Brielle Skullark, and Chantal Vaca. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thank you to the band Public Access for our theme music. Do tune in tomorrow at 11 for our scheduled interview with Governor J.B. Pritzker. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk to you tomorrow.